let's open up to Genesis chapter 6 and think for a few moments about good old Noah and the ark. And this is a great Bible lesson that we have, which contains many good facts about salvation. We'll start in Genesis chapter 6 and verses 8 through 10. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. You know, this is a story that we often talk to our children about, and we love to have the little models with the ark and then all the animals going into the ark. And for the longest time, we had a little stuffed toy ark and several little stuffed animal figures that you could just kind of shove inside the ark, you know, and you could made a nice little pillow when it was done. But the story is beloved to us, and we love it because of God's desire to save mankind, his providence in giving Noah the blueprints for the ark, and then having all those animals come into the ark and be saved from the great flood. But this Bible story contains great lessons for adults as well. And sometimes we talk about it being a Bible story, but you know it is a true story. And these first eight chapters of the book of Genesis are sometimes criticized as being, you know, just fairy tales or something like that. But they are not fairy tales. These are true stories of God's work on the earth with mankind in those very early years of the world's existence. And so we can look at this true story of salvation and see some of the same principles of salvation that we find in the New Testament today. So let's take a look at a few things. First of all, we see that Noah was saved by grace. You think about the situation in Noah's day and turn back to verse 1 here. It says, now it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found favor because he was trying to do what was right in his life. Verse 18, God presented a covenant with Noah. He said, I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you and all of your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. There's a great parallel to our situation today. We see mankind engaged in all kinds of sin around us on a daily basis. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And so sin merits death. We know that from the story of Adam and Eve, that when they sinned, death came into the world. And from that point forward, man was punished. And all mankind will face death if the Lord does not return first. And so that's the situation. All are lost in sin. And what does it take then for someone to be saved? It takes the grace of God. Noah found favor or grace in the eyes of the Lord. And today, if we're going to be saved, we're going to be saved because of God's grace or favor. The Bible said God commends his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 and verse 8. That is God's grace. But God, who is rich in mercy, for the great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Ephesians 2, 4 through 8. So mankind who is lost in sin is saved only by God's grace. And by that, I mean that God must make the first effort. God must make the first initiative. Without that, mankind is hopelessly lost. In that sense, in the sense that God must take the first step, it is only because of God taking the first step that mankind can be saved. God took the first step with Noah. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Were it not for that act of grace, Noah would not have been saved. Were it not for God's act of grace through his Son, Jesus Christ, no person today could be saved. But notice that God's grace was to presented to Noah in the form of a covenant. He made a covenant with Noah. That was, in effect, the presentation of God's grace. Yes, you have the will of God, who decides that he is going to favor Noah, but then God makes a covenant with Noah. You know, God has given a covenant today through his Son, Jesus Christ. Matthew 26:28, Jesus said, for this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, or the blood of the New Covenant, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. What is this idea of a covenant? It's the notion of an agreement, but more than agreement on God's part, it is initiated by God. And the covenant itself is given by God's grace, just as Christ was given by God's grace. The blood of Christ was shed by God's grace. The covenant of God was established by God's grace. This is the blood of the covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And now God says, I have a covenant or an agreement. One might even say a transaction, in a sense, because God is offering something by His grace, and we have the opportunity then to receive it. Today, God's covenant is through Jesus Christ. Listen to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11 through 15 for a moment. But Christ, becoming a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, how much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, for what cause? For the cause that He entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us, and is set down on the right hand of God, for this cause He is the mediator of a new covenant. That, by means of death, His death, the redemption of the transgressions, and for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Noah was called by God's grace. God set up a covenant with Noah. Noah was saved by grace. And so today, God calls us through the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 3:14, I believe. He calls us through the gospel, but we're saved by grace because without the offer, we would have nothing. But Noah was also saved by faith. Sometimes you hear it put like this: grace is God's part, faith is man's part. And that's correct. We do not have any documentation that Noah had ever seen a flood before, or even that he had even seen it rain before. Genesis chapter 2, the Bible describes the earth being watered by a dew of some kind coming up from the ground. We don't know exactly how that worked, but we don't know that it had ever rained on the earth before this time. Noah had never seen every animal in the world, most likely. Even with our modern technology today, I don't know that any one of us has seen every animal in the world. I got to see a possum last night. 2 o'clock this morning, Mr. Rocky decided to wake me up. It was an adventure. That's the second possum, by the way. And one raccoon and one snake. So, okay. That's the aside. We don't know that Noah had ever seen a structure like God told him to build. A giant box, no doubt, would have been an enormous facility. If you've ever been to that one in Kentucky, I believe it is, North Kentucky. We went back in 2017, and that was something to see, really was. They were able to build theirs relatively short period of time due to modern technology. It took Noah 100 years to build his, and it must have been quite impressive. Noah had probably never seen a boat float. We don't even know if he knew that much, that a boat could even float. But God spoke directly to Noah. And Noah trusted in the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now think about that. The Holy Spirit is telling us that Noah hadn't seen any of these things yet. But he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah had faith in God. What about our faith? I have never seen my own soul, even though I have evidence of it. I've never seen it. I don't know what a soul looks like. I've never seen the stain of sin on my soul as a literal manifestation of something one way or another, as if you might see a Kool-Aid stain on a countertop or something like that. I've never seen that. I've never seen God wipe that sin away by the blood of Christ. With my own eyes, I've never seen that. Like you would take cleanser or something and cleanse a countertop of the Kool-Aid stain. I've never seen that. I've never seen heaven. I've never seen hell. I've never seen Satan. But just as Noah trusted in the Word of God, so we trust in God's Word also. God speaks to us today through His Son, Jesus Christ, Hebrews 1 tells us. And so we put our trust in the Word of the Messiah. And we also are saved by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7. Noah's faith was not without deeds. It wasn't a dead faith, but it was a living and active faith. How do we know that? Because look at what he did. And what Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By faith he did those things. And we have some things to do by faith today. James tells us, in James chapter 2, that faith without works is dead. Is our faith a living faith or a dead faith? Noah's faith was a living faith. And so Noah was saved by faith. But Noah was also saved by obedience. In Genesis 6 and verse 22, it says, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so he did." Now that is a significant statement. According to all that God commanded. What if Noah had decided, what is rain? What is a flood? I've never seen those things. Why should I believe in them? And never built the ark. Well, we wouldn't be here today. But because Noah obeyed, he saved himself, his wife, his sons, his daughters-in-law, and all of those who came afterward. Because he did what God commanded him to do. And that statement is made several times in Genesis 6 and 7. Genesis 7, 5, 7, 9, 7, 16. Noah obeyed God. He did what God commanded. And it's so important to salvation that we are obedient. 1 John 5, verses 3 and 4 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." Notice the combination there of keeping his commandments and faith. They're joined together. You don't keep God's commandments without faith. And you don't have faith without keeping his commandments. The two are inseparable. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, in speaking about Jesus, says this: "Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him." And so today we must obey the Son. Are we saved by obedience today? We sure are. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now that's just obedience. And through obedience, we have salvation. And just as Noah obeyed for the reasons that God told him to obey, "Noah, build an ark because I'm going to destroy the world. Build an ark for the saving of your house." Today, we must obey for those reasons also. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Noah built that ark so that God could save him. Again, we don't know that Noah even knew that a structure that size would even float. You know, it's an interesting point of history that no one ever thought to build a boat out of iron or metal or some kind of stone. No one ever thought to build a boat out of those materials because when you threw those materials into the water, they would sink. And so for thousands of years, people made boats out of wood because they knew that that would float, you know. And they didn't even think about the possibility of something other than wood floating. Who knows if Noah even knew that a structure that big would float, but he believed God. He trusted God. And he got inside that ark because God said, if you go into that ark, I will save you. God said, if you are baptized for the remission of sins, I will save you. Just as Noah obeyed, we need to obey. And finally, Noah was saved from destruction. Genesis 7, 21 through 23 says, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast, every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. You know, Peter compares this story to our salvation today in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. And listen to what he says, because we can learn from Noah, we can learn about our salvation today. The Bible says we can, right here in 1 Peter 3. It says, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine longsuffering waited in the days of Noah. The days of Noah. While the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. Now look at the comparison that Peter makes to that. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, that is, when you get baptized, you're not taking a bath to scrub off dirt. That's not what it's about. But the answer or the response of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When a person hears the gospel that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he was raised again to a new life, and he believes that message, he repents of his sins, confesses that Jesus is Lord. When he makes that commitment to be baptized into Christ, Peter says that is the response of a good conscience. Someone who hears the word and believes it and acts on it. The response of a good conscience. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the response of a good conscience. Because if the conscience is good, and it has accepted this as the word of God, then the conscience is going to say, you need to obey. You need to do what God says. And you need to be baptized. And that's what Peter's talking about here. Now, Peter makes the comparison between the ark and baptism. Just as Noah was saved from the destruction of the earth, so we will be saved from destruction as well. In 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 7, Peter says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's the criticism that some make today. Peter says, for this they are willfully ignorant, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. They forget history. They forget that God keeps his promises. And they are then not prepared for that day when Christ returns. And he says, the same word that made the earth, the same word that brought the flood, the same word are kept in store, reserved against unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Second Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9. Says this, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Why did God destroy the ancient earth with the flood? Very simply, because of his justice. It would have been unjust for him to let that situation continue even further. And God's justice will one day destroy the world again. And those who have not obeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, notice the wording there, not obeyed the gospel, they're going to be punished with everlasting destruction. We need to know God, and we need to obey the gospel. Now, Noah was saved by grace, just as we're saved by grace. Noah was saved by faith, just as we're saved by faith. Noah was saved by obedience, just as we are saved by obedience. And Noah was saved from destruction, just as we will be saved from destruction if we are faithful to the Lord. And so the only question that's left is this. Will we be like Noah? To be faithful? To do all that the Lord commands us to do? To go into the ark, trust in God, remain in the ark, the place of refuge, the place of safety, that place is in Christ Jesus today. Ephesians 5 says, for as the husband is the head of the wife, so also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Just as God was the Savior of the ark, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the body, which is his church. Are you in the church of Christ today? We can help you with that decision. If you'd like to make it right now, you can do so while together we stand and while we sing.